And we're back here with our friend Roger Victory. And if you have a question for Roger this morning, you can call us here at 395-1450. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Jute. That's disheartening news I hear there on the breaking news.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds like another terrorist attack.
Yep, disheartening what the people have on their minds. And I got to keep in mind our law enforcement people. And just for example, this past weekend we had the ceremony for State Trooper Butterfield. And
right.
The governor was there. And in this past week in Lansing, too, we had our 9/11 honoring ceremony for first responders. And I had Chief Mike Keefe from Allendale and also Deputy Chief Pullman from Georgetown Township. A very fitting ceremony. And also, our hearts were very heavy that day because of the news of State Police Officer Butterfield and the family and ramifications that deal with that. So we have to keep those first responders, our firefighters, our state police officers, and this breaking news at the Naval Yard there, too, in mind.
Yeah. Do you think will they evoke any kind of discussion in the legislature about maybe extending the prison terms of people who are...
Yeah, that's one item, too. You keep in mind those who serve in the rural communities. We keep, the metropolitan areas. You have a state police trooper like in these rural districts. Their backup is quite a consistent way, quite a ways away.
Yeah.
So if you're serving in a metropolitan area, your backup is nearby. But we got to keep that in mind for those who serve in our northern districts and those the life, the risk they put and take on when they are, their backup is maybe 10, 15 minutes away.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Roger, let's talk about some of the things that they're talking about in Lansing.
Yep.
And one of them is the core.
Yep, the Common Core curriculum.
Yeah.
That's the issue that's coming to the forefront here, and it's some standards that they're looking to be in place. Talking to a number of people in the business community and educational community and even some of our Christian schools, too, some of this program has been implemented so far, and they're looking at to continue on with it. And one area of it is it's a critical thinking skill set, which many of our employers are looking for. And keeping in mind local control, too, that's an mm-hmm. issue that's dear to our hearts, and see if we can facilitate all those avenues while we continue on to enhance our educational process and making sure that our graduates are going to meet the needs of our community and those of the employers and also be good stewards in our communities.
Will it mean any change in the curriculum?
Currently this has been already rolled out in its beginning stages. I've talked to a couple of the educators out there, and this this is a process to continue on. It's some of the issues are with the testing for it. Do you teach to the standards of the test? And that's a base, how do we hold up to the standards and how do we evaluate our educational systems? And then, but that's one aspect of it, which I've been looking at is the critical thinking component and something that there again, as I'm talking to the employee, the employers in the community and those from the industry point of view, are needing to enhance the critical thinking components of our graduates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the reason I had the Common Core, it's giving some transport. Basically, some students are transferring between districts or throughout the different states. And how does a school, when they take a second grader in that transferred from Indiana, making sure that standard and that level education experience in Indiana and Michigan is somewhat equivalent, but still critically maintaining local control on some of the subject matters. So that's where I think a lot of the debate is coming in play, and how do we have commonality but still maintain local control and our involvement of our parents and those from our local community. So that's where some of the controversies are coming forward, and that's where we're working through and see once we can get something that will adapt for both.
Well, I'm thinking, like in California, the curriculum is different than it is
That's
here,
right,
definitely.
Yep. But on some of the math standards, I think they can get some uniformity on the process.
Yeah.
So those aspects. So that's where, and when it comes to the educational issues, that's always something that's passionate to our hearts. It should be.
Yeah.
And that's why I appreciate the passion among the constituents on these issues, because if not, we have an issue.
Well, we may have a lot of homeschooling.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's one area, too, and you talk about educational issues. we can do so much at the school level. You know, in the time period when they're through the K through 12 system, the school, that student or that child will only spend 8% of that time in the school. The other 92% is spent at home. And we need to continue to develop a strong home setting and parental involvement. And our society, we're lacking woefully.
And we got a call coming in. Good morning. You're on the line with a representative.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's any more progress on no-fault insurance.
On no-fault insurance, okay.
Yeah, I'll hang up and listen to you.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate the caller calling in on that issue. In fact, that is one of my top four initiatives going forward is auto no-fault insurance reform, because the cost it's placing on our citizens in the state of Michigan, we have one of the highest insurance rates in the country. And we began some work on that issue. We had hearings. And at this point, we still need to keep the foot on the accelerator on the issue. And that is one of my top four initiatives I'm going to be working on is the no-fault insurance reform. It's been a little bit quiet, too quiet for my own liking. But that's where we can start our coalition that feels that we need to lower those insurance rates and start speaking up and put that on a priority list.
What are you looking at? Giving it a limit or what?
A cap. And what's the fitting cap? What's the dollar amount? But without a cap, how do somebody insure against an unknown entity? And the unknown entity is unlimited cap.
Right.
And that's a problem situation. But if they were proposing $1 million cap, I see some issues with $1 million cap, because you can push through there fairly quickly, and then you're going to be place a burden on the taxpayers there, because they'll go on Medicare or Medicaid aspect at that point in time. So let's do some statistical analysis. What's, where are these outliers? And will $5 million cover it? $2 million? $10 million? So there's some discussions. Yeah. So I think we need to narrow that number down. Also contain these costs, put these costs related to charges they place in workman's comp, so there's a little more reining in on these charges, because I don't know if the listeners out there are familiar with it, but when you have an injury relating to automobile accident, the healthcare providers charge a higher rate on that, and that's helped to compensate some of their other unfunded costs and insurance, and they'll even admit to that. So we need to rein in that, because right now auto insurance is carrying the weight of some of the areas in our medical system.
I see.
And so we can rein that in, lower the rates, but this is a big ball to move in Lansing, and I'm willing to be behind that ball and push it.
Patients are available today. Call 820-7662 for more information. The Inn at Freedom Village, 145 Columbia Avenue in downtown Holland.
We're here with Representative Roger Victory this morning, and if you have a question, you may call us, 395-1450. Our line is open. And when is that liable to move on the floor, Roger?
The no-fault issue, I have to keep to see how leadership is going to navigate this one through. We had some, came through committee before the summer work session, and there's be a number of issues coming forward, but I believe that could be on the docket coming into the fall session.
Good.
But there's another couple other interesting issues that are coming forward, too, which are on my agenda here. I have my top four. Is another one would be repealing the prevailing wage.
Yes.
That's a factor that places a burden on a lot of this construction that goes on in state. It places a burden on a lot of our schools. And then I've been working on the school bond loan fund. And because of the prevailing wage increased cost, that put pressure on that fund there.
Right.
And now there's going to be some changes that are going to be negatively affecting our schools and our taxpayers on that. And then another issue I see forward, we need talent development. Talking during the summer work session, many of the employers, especially in Holland's Zeal area in Ottawa County, these entry-level jobs in the manufacturing fields, and not just entry-level jobs, but some of these technical jobs like welding and plumbing, that talent is not there. You can't teach that overnight. And we need to start navigating this in our school systems, or funneling them toward these careers and presenting these opportunities forward. So that's another big check mark on my list here. Talent development, it's not going to occur overnight. We can work with Michigan Works to help navigate some of the areas there, and even in corrections reform. There's had a good discussion on some opportunities there for those who are leaving the correction system. How do they get integrated back into the working climate of our area? and where's there opportunities for those?
Is Career Line Tech doing the job?
Well, I believe so. I serve on an advisory committee there on one of the programs. That program has been advanced over the few years. It had even to qualify for some of the programs. There are areas there's limited space for some of those programs,
yeah.
And students are lining up. One of the difficulties at Career Line Tech is because of the Michigan Merit Curriculum. Unless you start navigating your educational path in the right direction to be able to get into the program and still meet the needs of that were based on the Michigan Merit Curriculum. So come the eighth grade, these students need to start to be considerate of their educational path. Make sure they're aligning their classes up properly so that way they can format this
right.
through and successfully navigate all these mandates that we have placed as a legislator upon our students and the educational system. So,
they'd better see a counselor.
Exactly. Yeah, that is very critical. At the eighth grade level, I want to encourage the parents out there of these young people, start to do some planning because it is a difficult task to navigate through all these requirements, demands, and areas that these students have to face in getting through the graduate, graduating through the process.
Okay, what else did you have on your list there this morning?
Well, another issue, House Bill 4724. This is an issue that's going to face us and our communities here. It's a bill to help with a contracting issue with the firemen that work in the city of Grand Rapids. The full-time firemen, firefighters, under their new work agreement, labor contract, are going to be prevented from serving their local communities on a paid-on-call basis. And this is disheartening to me because there will be a number of good, talented firefighters that serve on pay-on-call in like the Georgetown Township area, Allentown Township area, and throughout the greater Grand Rapids area. And they're going to be restricted from doing so. The only restrictions are going to be in the contract. You know, they can continue to do construction work. They could do roofing work, many hazardous potential jobs. But there's one single issue that they will, one single occupation they will not be allowed to do, and as serve their local community as an on-call firefighter.
Mm.
And I think I call this bill is a freedom to serve bill. This will
yeah.
continue to allow the individual to serve that community where their children live, their family lives, and their community members live, and they should have the opportunity to serve that community and on their off time from when they're not serving at the Grand Rapids firefighters. And the one issue, too, I call the slippery slope. If this is initiated on the city of Grand Rapids, you'll see other full-time departments possibly enacting the same policy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So more work needs to be done. Chief Mike Keith from Allendale Township, fire chief from that township, was in Lansing this past week, and he testified on this issue in committee and a number of other firefighters, and hopefully we'll navigate this through. I co-sponsored this bill, and I'm going to continue to work on this, navigate this through the system.
Okay.
Please consider one of four Dykstra locations in Holland and Saugatuck. We would be honored to serve your family.
And time out for a word about the weather here, and the weather is brought to you by Kia of Holland. That's hollandkia.com. And the weather today, decreasing cloudiness with a high of 68, and I think that's happening now. The sun's coming out, mostly clear tonight with a low of 40, and tomorrow mostly sunny with a high in the area of 72, and right now we are at 54 degrees here in the Tulip City, and it's chilly out there. And I don't think it froze yet, but one of these nights it's going to.
Yeah, that's the growing season needs to be extended out for a few more weeks. We
yeah.
have a very good harvest coming across out there. But, yeah, frost at this time of year would damage a lot of that potential harvest.
Should have a lot of corn, should have a lot of apples. And
yep.
Good
and
soybeans.
And we had that cool spell this past summer that
right.
delayed the growing season a little bit. So, we changed from last week we hit a high at 94, 93, and suddenly the fall arrived this weekend, and we're in that season, the roller coaster,
yes.
up and down.
Yes, indeed. All right. We're here with Roger Victory, and if you have a question for Roger, you can call us here at 395-1450. Our line is open. What about the wolf situation?
Well, that's interesting you bring that issue up. I serve on the Natural Resources Committee, and that was one issue that we had a lot of testimony on. There will be a wolf hunt in the state of Michigan,
uh-huh.
and that will be proceeding pretty soon. quickly out there, and it is needed. This is a situation that, you know, we're going to still continue to have wolves in the state of Michigan, but that population has continued to grow to a level that's impacting livestock, pets, and even the safety of some of the children in those areas. So those wolves are migrating into some residential areas, and had good conversations with some of the fellow representatives in the UP, and it's affecting them. You know, they have a good understanding of it, because when they get a call from their constituents that their family pet has been killed or livestock has been damaged, and and even how do you have your children playing out in the backyard when you, well, those are approaching your residential area. So keeping that those packs managed properly, and Department of Natural Resources is doing a based on sound science, and we'll see how this wolf hunt continues on. But it looks like there might be another ballot initiative coming forward, and so that it's a touch and go situation. But some good news, I'm working with in the legislation. In fact, I was working the House floor, getting some support on this issue, is with the realignment of the hunting and fishing license.
Yes,
we had some realignment. There will be allocated a $1 revenue stream from there that can be put into a promotional program. And this will help to educate a good part of our society, because less and less of our society is hunting and fishing anymore. And the Department of Natural Resources does a lot of things very well, but promotion is one of the areas they drop the ball on.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an outside the Department of Natural Resources. It'll be administered by a group of individuals from the private sector, and they will administrate this program to promote hunting and fishing based on sound science aspects and educate that, I call that 70% of the population that probably do not participate in hunting and fishing but need to be aware of its impact and its positive returns on the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And for that dollar, hopefully?
Yes. This is based on a Colorado program. And in Colorado, they have navigated this issue very successfully. And and ballot initiatives like the Wolf Ballot issue somehow give a balanced voice on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because these other outside groups can garner a lot of money, pour that into the state of Michigan, and where is the common sense voice to oppose that?
Now, this would apply to the people that come in from other states as well. They would pay the extra dollar.
Correct, yeah.
Well, they always pay extra dollars.
Yeah. They, of course, you know, out-of-state hunting fees have always have a higher cost,
right?
Which it should be, which if you go hunt in other states, we know that well when you buy those licenses.
Right.
And, in fact, I think the state of Michigan, we're still a bargain for the out-of-state hunters who are coming in. But this will allocate $1 of those of a hunting license and a fishing license to give a counterbalance or a well-spoken reply to some of these extremist groups that come in and spread their propaganda around. And it's not tied up in the Department of Natural Resources. Let them do what they do well. But, again, I would say I don't believe marketing is their area of expertise, and this group that will be put together will be able to communicate that and do an effective job and enhance the sport of fishing and hunting.
Well, we have a lot more deer around here now than we used to have, and I don't know, are we adjusting that?
Well, that's you know, we got to manage that deer herd. If it gets out of hand, I, as an agricultural producer, I know firsthand the impact of oversized deer herd, as there's economic issues there. Then we were started out the conversation on auto no-fault. Well, one, those cost of insuring your vehicles, those deer collisions, and that places an extra burden on the taxpayers of the state of Michigan and those who insure their vehicles. So that herd needs to be managed in that direction there, too. So there's and imagine if we didn't have the opportunity to hunt the deer herd, what kind of impact it would be on you.
Impossible.
Yes, right.
Got a call here. Good morning. You're online with our representative.
Just a quick question on the hunting thing, not on hunting itself, but on all the different regulations for there's so many different kinds of licenses, and it's if you're this age and that age. And just a quick question, and you can answer it. I'll hang up. But is there any way that we can consolidate some of this stuff? Because when you're selling these different licenses, there's so many things, and they get a little bit confusing. So I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, the caller brought in a good point, and that was in this past legislative reform of the hunting fees in fishing fees. They did do a considerable consolidation on that and streamlined it. And because that was some of the input from the advocacy groups, the hunting organizations, it was getting more and more confusing. So that was the intent of this legislation, moving forward, streamlining it. But there's also, as a caller indicated, there are those youth hunts, and those are, and this youth hunt is very important because that's how we're going to introduce the sport to the young people, and that way we can continue to grow the
Yeah, didn't we have a free fishing day?
Exactly. It just introduces the sport to the those who might not otherwise start being engaged. And once they get the introduction, they become an avid fisherman or hunter. And that's because that population has continued to shrink. And that's part of the promotion to grow the sport.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the line with Roger.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I just came in. Did you say that you guys want to try to combine licenses like you did the youth? I know I hunt, my son's hunting with me this year. He got his youth license, but they had like a combo where he got like two deer, a turkey, small game, and fishing all at once for $8.50. Now, I understand it's a youth thing, but can we do something like that for us adults who hunt every year? Who participate with outdoor activities, fishing, all that. That's something you guys are working on?
Right. And the caller has indicated, too, that was some of the concerns. There's still more work to be done, but in the past set of bills that were passed, reforming some of the fees and hunting structure license, have been combining this because it was I couldn't quote how many different license and fees are out there, but there have... These have been streamlined together, but yet, and continue on that same train of thought. Because as
I understand you guys, you meet with your board, I guess, or DNR, but couldn't you guys put out a survey for those who do hunt and fish, and then, maybe get their input or ideas, and go off what the people want rather than, those who run it?
Well, no, very valid point there, too. And as we move forward on this, I did reach out to some of the hunting groups and those areas to get their input, too. But I think the caller had a very valid point, doing some survey among those who are hunting and fishing and seeing what works and what does not work. And I know as some of these changes we've implemented, I'm sure we're going to be getting more feedback on, and we'll keep that on the radar screen.
We are going to have a deer hunt very shortly here in Laketown Township, the bull season.
Yes, I'm sure they had some controversy with it too, correct?
Well, they limited that to just a few people. So.
Right, yeah. And I'm sure it'll be well managed, but taking care, that was a need that needed to be addressed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it has been.
Mm-hmm.
Roger, what's coming up next week?
Well, there again, next week we'll be back. This week here we're going back in session, and our committees are coming back into family, children, and seniors. We're dealing with some adoption issues, so we'll be keeping it on a close radar screen. Natural resources, we got some others, these issues coming forward. Agricultural committee, it looks like we got some things of for soil amendments and things of those natures coming out of the manufacturing area. So
you're going to be busy.
We will be busy.
Thanks very much for being our guest.
As always.